Okay, we are on Kuf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph at the two dots, about nine lines down. So we saw in the Mishnah Kuf Chaf Dal Amud Beis, we saw machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to say that Tanakama is Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir said, "Kol akelim hanitzal mishabish yivrei mitali nimahen ubavachu eisin me'ein malacha." Meaning the shever kli, you're allowed to, if you have a keli which breaks, and we had a discussion yesterday, always speaking that it broke on Shabbos, that it broke before Shabbos, but with regards to its shever, with the shards, one is allowed to be notal the shards are not mukta, providing that, oisin me'ein malacha. Now, the lashon of me'ein malacha implies that as long as there is some normal use, for the shard, they can do something positive, then they are not mukta. Whereas, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, ubavad shiyu oisin me'ein malachton, it has to be that the shard, you can use the shard for a similar use to what the actual keli was used for initially. But if originally the keli was used for use A, now the shard cannot be used for anything to do with use A, it can only be used for a totally different type of usage, that is no good, that is considered to be mukta. And as we mentioned, we had a discussion yesterday, when it breaks, did it break on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos? Now we have now a braisa, which the Gemara is going to quote the braisa. The Gemara is going to ask, what is the nekudas ha-machlekes? And the Gemara assumes initially that this braisa is related to the discussion of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to reject that, and eventually it's going to come back to it. So let's see. Tan Rabbanan. Shivri Tanur Yashin. You've got the Shvarim, the shards of an old oven. Harei Hein Kechol HaKelem HaNitzalam HaMechatz HaDivri B'meir. These are considered to be like normal, regular Kelem, which you are able to be metalto. Divri Rebbe Meir, as we mentioned, Rebbe Meir was the Tanakham and the Mishnah. Rebbe Yehuda Emre, Ein Nitzalam. No, the shever of a tanner is not nital. So not clear from the braisa. So what is the nekudas ha-machlekes? Hey, Rabbi Yisim Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov al shivri tanner yoshon shmitalin b'shabbos. Number one, he paskins in accordance with Rabbi Meir that the shever of a tanner yoshon is a nital on Shabbos. Number one, al kisuyoy she'enitzach beis yad. In order to make a kisuy, a lid, into a viable keli, it doesn't need to have a handle. Anything which serves as a handle, as a lid, is considered to be a lid, even if it does not have a handle. Fine. Says the Gemara, what is the machlikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? The Maikamivlagi, Amrabaya, ba'oisin me'ein malacha, ve'ein oisin me'ein malachton, Kamivlagi, exactly like we suggested, like we saw in our Mishnah. In the Ozda Rebu de Latamei, Rebu Meir Latamei. And each of them are going Le Shitasam. If you look at Rashi, about 10 lines down, Rashi says, Me'ein Malach, Hakege, Machases Ben Pichaves, Ve'einesin, Ve'ein Malachton, Lefois, meaning you cannot use the shard of the oven to bake with. How are you going to bake with a shard of an oven? But you can use it for something else, you can use it as a lid. The Ozda, Rabbi Meir Tamei, the Amr B'Masnis, and Leibo in a main Malachton. In order for something to maintain, to perpetuate its halachic status of being a keli, which is mutter betiltel, as long as it's a useful item, it was a keli, originally I could use it for X, now, granted, I can only use it for Y, that is still considered to be a viable keli. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says no. And you have to be able to perpetuate in some way, shape, or form the original usage which you had. That's what the Gemara suggests. Now, the problem with this is Maskev la Rav, and based on this, Rav is going to say a different pshat, and the Gemara, almost towards the end of the sugya, is going to go with this pshat. What's Rav's kasha? Maskev la Rav, miflugi b'shivri tanur, liflugu b'shivri kelim ba'almo. Why do they limit their machlekes to the shvarim of a tanur, specifically? I mean, there's something special about the shard of an oven. I mean, just say the shever of a kli, the Tanakhama Rabbi Meir could say it's yeah nittol, Rabbi Yehuda could say it's not nittol, and then it would be analogous to our Mishnah, and it would actually have the same lashon of the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says kala kelim. We're discussing kelim. The kelim have to be main malachtan or main malacha. So to say the same thing in the Braisa. We know the Braisa is much more explanatory usually than the Mishnah, but for the fact that the Braisa specifies specifically a case of a tanor, says Rava, that seems to indicate that there's more here than meets the eye. That's not the Nekudas HaMachlokes. Again, Maskev La Rava, Iyahachi Adamiflegi B'Shivri Tanor Liflegu B'Shivri Kelim Ba'alma. El Amar Rava. That's not the pshat. Has to be there's a different Machlokes, and like we mentioned, the Gemara is going to come back to this, and this will be the Maskana, but at this stage, the Rava says something different. El Amar Rava B'Shivri the high tanor kemiflegi. We're discussing dvarim kichsavon, the shever of that particular specific oven. What is this oven referring to? So we go back once again to Maseches Kelim. This now, nosnu al pi habar oy al pi hados, the nosen sham evan. So I will just show you a diagram from the courtesy of Art Scroll. Cases like this. Right, this is the case where you have we have a tanner. We know that a tanner in essence is just kind of like a round cave, like a round pot. And usually the tanner would go just on the ground like that. And you would put the coals inside the tanner. And then you would bake. Either you would take some bread and stick it on the side around the wall or put something else inside. So here, we speak about this case. Nasnu al pi habar, you stick it in the opening of a pit. Oy al pi adus, habar and adus are pretty much the same thing, just different shapes and so on. Binasan shom evan, and you place a evan. So let's just first read the Mishnah, then we'll see Rashi. So we say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im masik milamata, v'hu nisik milamala, tomei. If when you are masik down below in the cavity down below and it's considered to be connected sufficiently well that the heat rises and goes all the way up to the top of the oven and it doesn't really lose any heat, then says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yehuda Tomei, meaning this tanur is a bar kabbalas tuma. It is considered to be a tanur with all the dinim, and it's subject to pretend it's susceptible to tumah. Then lav, but if when you heat it down below, the heat will not rise and it will not heat up the top of the oven unless you place something else kind of closer up inside the tanor to heat it up inside. Then lav tahar. Then this is not considered to be a tanor. A tanor is an oven, something which you bake. It's got to be hot. It's got to be able to conduct the heat properly. The heat's got to be able to spread, go all the way up. So if you take this tanner, again, remember it's a new tanner, and you're placing it inside this pit. Unless the heat can spread and go all the way up, it is no good. And if it's not considered to be a tanner, it's not susceptible to tumah. Whereas the Chachamim Ma'imrim Hoyol v'Husak Mikol Makayim Tamei, the fact that I am able to heat up this tanner any which way, be it with heat down below in the pit, be it that I make some type of a ledge inside the oven, who cares? This is a tanner. A tanner is a tanner. I don't require that the heat specifically comes from down below, and that is the opinion of the Rabbanim. So, let's see Rashi for a second. Rashi says, the high tanur. We are discussing that specific tanur in Maseches Kelim, in Perakei of Maseches Kelim. Meaning, it says Rashi, Hasuk ein zeh shoshani b'mishnah zu, shani mevi lacha, shalei niskim kol tzarkim mitchilase, it hasn't been properly made. It hasn't been properly set up. It's not a regular, normal, good tanur. And then it ends up breaking. It's about this tanner that is going to be the Nekudas HaMachlokes in this Tosefta that we quoted, Ms. Bryce. What's the case? Was Rashi Nas Ma Biabar Tenum Shalam Asim Kikaderis Gedelais? Like we know, Veinam Shalam. There's no bottom. Umashivim La'aretz. Usually you stick it on the ground. Umadvik Tit Spivoyisav. And you just smear plaster around it. Lasayse Av Shiachsik Chumay to retain the heat. The Kriya Tfela. That's what it means when you're Toifel the oven. Veimagas La'aretz. And this goes all the way down to the ground. Now, on mitzvah, hevel shleikayim, it retains its heat very well. V'imnosnu al pi habar, ayal biados. If you put it, not on the ground, but you put it on top of a pit, which is dug into the ground, shikayin habar, elash habar mechafir vados bebinyan, but it's the same thing, there's no real difference in din between the two. V'imnosn sham even beinoi lebein deken habar, and you stick a stone between the tanner and the deifin habar. Why do you do it? Ledechke, to kind of fit it into place. Shleyipo v'yayimid ba'avir. So what? So we said, Rabbi Yehuda said, let's see, says Rashi, im, Rabbi Yehuda, im deif neisav lemala kreivim ledeifin habar. So if the deifin lemala is in fairly close proximity to the deifin of the bar, meaning you just need to put a small little oven. So then, says Rashi, let's see this other diagram. There we go. See this case, very small little oven over here, tiny little oven. So again, says Rashi, you have an even daka, the ein avir nikerbe bein deifne hatana la deifne habar, and the even, and the av, excuse me, is not detectable, is not, you don't see it, it's not nikker bein deifne hatana la deifne habar, she akiv es hesek hatanor, it's not going to prevent the heat from traveling all the way up, all the way through this tanor, ella yeilu la deifne habar la haksik es humay. On the contrary, the sides of the pit will be a good source of heat retention, and so on. Veshulav kreivim veshuli habar she'im asikane seim lamata. If you heat it up from down below, she'isin ha'ur gabar v'atana nisig melamala b'seichai ma'ar derech shulav oishatana b'seich halal habar v'abir v'hesik oila saviv deiv neisav v'nisik kegein shekatsim lamata. Racham alamala, which is this example over here, it's narrower down below and it's wider up above, that you don't even need to put any even inside. It's just that the shape of this tanner is as such. It's wider up above and it's narrower down below. So if that is the case, then, says Rabbi Yehuda, this tanner is a regular tanner. It's a regular tanner with all of the dinim, and it's going to be a bar kabbalas tuma. Whereas the imlav, but if that's not the case, if you need to have a much larger eben, which you need to stick and wedge in to prop up the tanner, and because the eben is so large, there is a fairly big gap, and it's not going to retain the heat so well, so that when I heat up this section down below in the pit, the heat will not rise properly and be retained in the top of the oven. Das heißt nicht kein Tanur. That's not an oven, says Rabbi Yehuda. An oven is a keli which is going to properly retain its heat. And therefore it's not a bar kabbalas tuma. That is Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rabbanan disagree. And the Rabbanan say again, four lines down, the big lines, any which way you can heat it up, be it from down below, be it from a ledge inside, doesn't make a difference. It's always going to be tummy. Says the Gemara, what is the nekudas hamachlekes between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda and Maseches Kelim? So what's the machlekes? And the high crop, town of the Karam Yutats, Tmeim Haim, Utmeim Yulachem. So in reference to a town of Kiraim, if it became Tomei, the Pasuk says, What is the way that you're mafkia the tumah? How do you rid the tumah? You smash it. You smash it. You demolish it. Alright? So, if you have a tanur, which is, and the way we're learning the Gemara is like this, a tanur which became tameh, which you can smash, that is considered the type of tanur which is susceptible to tumah in the first place. So, tanur v'kirayim yutatz tmeim heim, meaning as that tanur, which it's kind of considered to be somewhat mechubar to the ground, that we apply the terminology of netitza. Netitza is a terminology which is applied specifically to something which is attached to the ground. So in order for the tanner to be tamei, it needs to be a bar netitza. In order for it to be a bar netitza, it needs to be attached to the ground. Only such a tanner is susceptible to tuma. So we say like this, Rebuta Savra Mahusinatitsa Tameshin Mahusinatitsa Tar. It's only something which you have the capacity, the ability to do netitsa to will be tame. Something which is not a bar netitsa because it's not properly attached to the ground. If remember, if it's not attached to the ground, it is not a bar netitsa. Netitsa is a term which is reserved to an attached tanur. A tana which is mechubar lekarka. So if it's not a bar netitza, it's not a bar kabbalah's tomb in the first place. That is Rabbi Yehuda. So again, once again, if we go back to our diagram, so we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I need that this tanur is some way considered to be attached to the ground. Because only a tana which is attached to the ground is a bar netitza. And only a bar netitza is a bar kabbalah's tumah, susceptible to tumah. So it really depends the size of the gap and how properly wedged it is, and is it airtight, and will the heat conduct, and will the heat be retained to say that it's connected to the ground. Zakta biyuda, if it's properly connected to the ground, and what is the moided, what is the way of measuring that? The litmus test is, if when you put fire in the pit down below, it goes all the way up, all the way up, all the way up to the top, and it retains the heat properly, that is called connected to the ground. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, V'rabban and Savri. Temeim yu lachem mikol makayim. The Rabbanan say, no, the Pasuk continues to say, Temeim yu lachem. I mean, it's unnecessary, it's superfluous. What does the Pasuk say? Tanur v'kirayim yutatz. Tmeim heim, utmeim yu lachem. Why do I need that additional phrase? That's a riboy. That's coming to tell me, even if it's not properly connected to the ground, as long as you can heat up this tanner, any which way, it is susceptible to tumah. Don't get so bogged down on the netitza connotation and say that it must be properly connected and so on. There's a riboy, tmeim yu lachem mikol makom. That is the way. And that is the Nekudas HaMachlekes. If you look at Rashi in the first wide line, he explains the Rabbanan, Tmeim Heim, Utsmeim Yulachem, De Kafal Beikra Ribuyahu. It's a Ribuy, Sha'afa Bisha in a Mesukun called Sarkli. Even though it's not properly attached and set up and connected, nevertheless, it will be susceptible to Tumah. Now, for Agdi Gemara, what do each of the other one do with the other one's raya? V'rabban nami, aksiv yutatz. But doesn't it say the word yutatz, which implies it's got to be connected to the ground? And only a tana which is connected to the ground is a bar yutatz. And only a son which is a bar yutatz is subject to tumah. So they say no. Aule either yisa. We're going to use that word the other way. Meaning, the sao kedai to chamina kevin chavrei ba'ara kegufa da'ara dami. In general, if you attach a tana to the ground, like we said before, you take your pot, you stick it on the ground, and you plaster it to the ground, so you might say, look, it's attached to the ground. We know usually anything which is mechubar lekarka is not tame, it's not a bar kabbalah's tuma. So you might have said that it's not a bar kabbalah's tuma. That's what you might have said. Ba'ara. Kamash Malan, and that we say, no, it still is a Bar Kabbalah's Tuma. That's what the Rabbanim do with the Yutats of the Pasuk. The Idar Nami, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the Riboy? I accept Tzmeim Yulachem. It says Tzmeim Yulachem. So he could Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. And Dom Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Machlik is Behesik Rishon. The Machlikis in the Mishnah is the very first time you heat up the Tanner. Abba Behesik Sheni, once you have made the Tanner into a Tanner, and think about this, we're dining on, I'm trying to create a Keli over here. When I create a Keli, there's various dinim. Now it's a Bar Kabbalah's Tuma. Now it's susceptible to Tuma. Have I created a Keli? Have I not created a Keli? If you want to create a Tanner, you've got to be jolly certain that you have made a normal Tanner. Once it's a Tanner, once it's got a Shame Kli, it's got a Shame Tanner, it's going to be susceptible to Tumah, even if you use it in a slightly abnormal way. So imagine if you will, the following case. Here's the ground. I have a brand new Tanner, just made it, earthenware vessel. I stick it over here in the oven, on the ground, and I bake my bread in it. Fantastic. Okay? It's a tanner. It's now a Bar Kabbalah's Tuma. Let's see now, I take this tanner and I say, you know what? For the rest of the life of this tanner, I'm going to suspend this tanner above air, on the back of a camel, suspend it in the air, and I'm going to put fire down below, and I'm going to stick my pizza inside this tanner, suspended above midair. That's fine, because it's a tanner. Aye, but that's not the normal way of cooking and baking with tanner, and you're right. But as long as I baked with it normally, initially, to give it a teiras kli, to make it into a tanner, you could use it or misuse it any which way you want, it's a tanner. It has teiras kli. So it says the Gemara, Amrei d'Amrei Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, the whole machlekes in the Mishnah is only behesek rishon, the very first time you're trying to kind of heat it up and use it. Avo behesek sheni, but if it's the second time round, afilu toli bitzavar gamo, even if it's suspended on the neck of a camel, and it's 6 feet in the air, we couldn't care less. Of course it's a kli, of course it's susceptible to tuma. Shangivana Kli. Once it became a Kli, it doesn't make a difference how you use it or how you misuse it. That is what we say. Let's just see those two Rashis. Rashi five lines down, the Hesek Rishon. She says, Hesek Rishon, Shaloi Husak Mi Olam, you have yet to heat it up. You have yet to heat it up. The Hesek Rishon Shenechaku Boy. It's got in that very first heating up. That's when there's a Machlekes. The Hahu Mashvile Kli. That's when you create it. That's the make it or break it point. In the initial heating. Kedisnami Maseches Kelim. Ezeu Gemar Malachtei. What is considered to be the Gemar Malachtei for the Tanur? Mishiyasi Kenu. Once you heat it up, for the sake of being able to bake fresh donuts, right? Wouldn't mind a couple of those right now. Or at least the coffee. So that is when there is a machlekes. Bahi polig Rabbi Yehuda va'amar de'enei ro'i lasis kli. Right? If it's not going to properly conduct and retain heat, not a kli, it's not susceptible to tumas kelim. But if you did that the first time round and it became a kli, it was you positioned it in a way that it would be able to successfully retain its heat, it's a kli. Says Rashi, Abba Behesek Sheni, Shemitfila Nasi Kishar Tanuri Mahobal Aretz. You used it, you made it, you fashioned it, you set it up like a normal tanur. Right? Ola Evan Av. The husak sham v'nasa kli v'seif notle misham, and then you take it away. V'nasnu api avar v'kan nitzma meidav yuda vada de'israbai mitumasim yulachem. So it comes out a very interesting thing. It comes out, Rabbi Yehuda says the ribui of Tzmei Yulachem comes to tell me, if you somewhat misuse a keli, and you might think a keli is only a keli insofar as you use it normally, but if you use it in some kind of ridiculous way, I'm not being mishtamish with it kalim dick, and therefore maybe it's not susceptible to tumah. Kalim are susceptible to tumah, but an exploitation of a chunk of mass and matter, that's not a keli anymore. Nay, comes the riboy utzmei milachem. Once it became a keli, it remains a keli, even if you misuse it, use it in a strange way. So that is the machlekes in the Mishnah. So again, one more time, we have machlekes in Perek Hei of Maseches Kelim, where you take a tanner, you stick it above a pit, and there is a gap, and therefore you stick an oven inside. Is this susceptible to tumah or not? Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If when you heat down below, the heat travels all the way up and it's retained, good. But I wouldn't say even if it doesn't, it's good. Says the machlokes, the Gemara, the machlokes is only the very first hesek. But once you set it up properly initially the first time, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, based on the ribuy of Tzmeim Yulachem, that it always will remain tummy. It is susceptible to tumor. The Amar Ula, and we continue, the Amar Ula, the Hesek Rishon, Rabban, Afilu Tali B'Tzavar Gomel. Hesek Rishon, even the very first time you heat it up, according to the Rabbanan, it will be tummy. That is what they use, this ribuy of Tzmeim Yulachem. Fine. Good. So Akoponim, let's see Rashi over here. Rashi says, Vamar Ula, Hesek Rishon, the Amri Miri Buya the Krav, Afogav the Ain Hevel Shle Miskay Miafim Akabal Tuma. It is tummy. Fine. So Al Kopanim. So now let's piece everything together. Remember, how do we get ourselves into this discussion? We had a brisa tisafta. Shivri tanur yashan. You have a shever of a tanur. Rabbi Meir says it's like oh kala kalem. You can be metalflit. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot. Says Rava, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes? They're arguing about in our sugya in Hilchos Tiltul Muktzah, it's shayach to the same Machlokes in Perek Hei of Maseches Kelim. That there we speak about something. Did this thing become a tanur, i.e., that it's susceptible to tumah, or did it not become a tanur, and it's not susceptible for tumah? Now it breaks, so we want to know, is the shever a kli? Well, that's going to be dependent on if the tanner became a tanner. If the tanner says, I am a tanner. So if the tanner is a tanner, then the shever is going to be the shever of a tanner. It's going to be a shever kli. But if the tanner never became a tanner, never became a proper viable kli, so then the shever is not considered to be the shever of a kli. It's not going to be a bar tiltal. So Rava wants to say that is pshat in the machlokes in the tesefta, whereas we said shivri tanu yashna harim kala kelim anitalim, because it became a tanur, and at kam it became a tanur. The shever is a shever of a tanur, and memel it's me you can be metaltalit because it's a shever kli. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda was the machmer. Rabbi Yehuda says it never became a kli, it never became a tan in the first place. And at comment that it never became a tan in the first place, ain't nitalin. Then you're not able to be nitalit. On that, frag the Gemara kasha, mask of Laravashi, Yahafi had the mifgi b'shivri tanur, liflagu b'tanu gufa. Frag the Ravashi, very simple question. According to you, Rava, so then going back to our discussion, why do they argue by a shivri tanur? Just have an argument about a tanner itself. And say the following. Hashta taner gufa labuda lehavi mana. Maduch, the taner itself, never became a tanner, because like we said, to the extent that it's somewhat suspended over this bar, and there's a little bit of an airspace, and it creates that it's not able to retain the heat properly, and therefore it never became a tanner. So, frag the Gemara, maduch, it never became a tanner. Hashta taner gufa labuda lehavi mana, shvara vivoya, avada, the shever is not the shever of a tanor, if the tanor never became a tanor. Poshet. I mean, it's a frekt of Asher, a very basic but obvious question. How can you say that's going to be the Nekudas HaMachlekes in our Tesefta about the shever of a tanor? And that's what the Tesefta is arguing in. Why don't they argue about the tanor itself? According to the views, even the tanor is not a bar tiltal. That is Rav Asher's kasha. Elam Rav Ashi, Lo'olam, let's go back to square one. Lo'olam Kida Amar Mikara, let's keep it simple. This Machlokes in the Tesefta is the exact same Machlokes that we had in the Mishnah. Lo'olam Kida Amar Mikara. It's like we wanted to say originally, and the Shaila is it sufficient that it's Oysa Me'ein Malacha, or does it need to do Me'ein Malachton? Ah, you had a kasha. Why do we speak about Tanner specifically? Why didn't you speak about just regular Kalim and so on? So, says the Gemara, Uva Oysa Masa Tafka. We specifically wanted to speak about this case. Because this case, there's an element of Hiddush. This, think about this for a minute. What is a Tanner? A Tanner is a Kali which it bakes through the use of just the heat. Meaning, it contains the heat in an area, and you put the food inside, you put the bread inside, and it bakes it because of the dry heat. What about if you have a tile? Let's say you have an earthenware tile, which is very hot. And you put the bread on top of it. You put dough on top of it. Presumably, it's going to do a very similar thing. It's going to produce a very similar result. Meaning just like if you have an oven and you stick your dough, you stick your lafa on the inside of the oven and it heats it up. So too if you have a earthenware tile and you stick your dough on the tile, it's also going to do a similar thing. So is that called me'ein malachton? That is something which we wanted to speak out. If you look at Rashi over here, very good Rashi to see, Rashi about 8 lines at the bottom. Rashi says, Kida Amoren Miyikara. Really, we are like we said initially. Ba'oyisin me'ein malacha. V'loy me'ein malachten v'shivri tanar ma'al yuka amar. We're speaking about a shard of a tanar. Aye, you asked the kasha. U'dekasha lachamai nakit tanar. Lifleg v'shivri kli. Why don't you just speak about a shever kli? Bahai itzrichle. This we wanted to speak out. Uba oisim ktsas me'ein meleches afia. It does somewhat of an afia. Kegoin, ma'isatafka. What is that? Ra'ofim shekerin tuvels tiles. Shemasikin esam. You heat them up. Va'oven then kach. Kach shvar ne'ele ra'ofim. Right. So you have these tiles. It's a similar thing. So again, let's just speak it out. What is considered to be me'ein malachton? If you have an oven, how does it heat? It's got walls. It traps the heat. It retains the heat. You put something inside. It bakes. What about if you take an earthenware tile, you heat it up, and you put some dough on it? Is that called me'ein malachton or not? So let's look at the Gemara. This was a nekuda which we thought was important to mention. So it comes like this. Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I don't ever require oisa me'ein malachton. I never require that you have to be able to use it for the similar type of usage that you used it for initially. I never require that. As long as it's viable, as long as it's useful, as long as it's ein melacha, it can do something that's good enough. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, le devar of the Rabbi Yehuda Kalmar. Meaning to say as follows, lididi afilo ba'isin me'ein melacha. As far as I'm concerned, as long as you can use it for any old thing, that's good enough. El lididach, but according to you, oidili mia de ba'ai gavna melachteyu. You should admit to me that this is considered to be me'ein melacha rishona. I mean, come on, what is the difference between an oven, which you heat it up, and you put your dough inside the oven, and it becomes a lacha or a pita, and a earthenware tile, which I heat up, and I slam a piece of dough on, it becomes the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Rabbi Yehuda, nay, lay down, hasem asekim b'fnim, hacha asekim b'chutz, hasem umed, hacha lav umed. There, the source of the heat is internal. Here, the source of the heat is not internal. And therefore, we will treat this, we will view this as a different type of keli. This is a different type of shimosh, it's a different type of usage, and therefore, this is not going to be me'ein malachton. Bekitzer nimrus, to summarize, we had a braisa, which said, shivri taner yashin harin kakala kelim anitalim mechatsa divri v'meir, Rabbi Yehuda ayim e'ein nitalim. We said, Lemaskana, what is the machlekas? It's the same machlekas of the Mishnah. Do you require me'ein malach ton or me'ein malacha? According to Rabbi Meir, it's enough that you can use it for any old thing. As long as it is useful, that's good enough. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be able to use it for the same or the similar type of usage. Then and only then would it retain teres keli. Good. Then we said, Viter in the Mishnah, we said, Hey, Rav Yosi, Mishim, Rav Elezer, and Yaakov, Al Shivri, Tana, Yashin, Shinitan, Vashavas, Val Kisir, Shinitach, Bez Yad. There's no requirement to have the handle, for a lid. Am Ravina, Keman, Natal, Talina, Na, Idna, Kisir, the Tana, the Mosa, Machsia, the Imam, Bezachiza, according to which Tana do we go? That we are Natal to lids without any handles. Keman, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. We're going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. And there's no requirement to have a handle on it. Still, it's considered to be a keli. Okay. Excellent. Says the Mishnah Baita. Yeah. Says the Mishnah. Ha'evin should be kiruya. So we have a very interesting case over here. We know that a stone is mukta. And it's a fairly chomer type of mukta. It's mukta machmas gufay. It's just a useless commodity as far as Shabbos is concerned. It's useless. But what about if I take this evan and I turn it into something useful? It becomes an indispensable component of my keli. Then it could be that now the evan has got teras kli. Now the evan is considered to be something which is useful. So, says the Mishnah, Ha'evin should be kiruya. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'las yevesha halula. So you've got some type of a pumpkin-like fruit. You hollow it out, and you can use this for a bucket. Yeah? V'las yevesha halula, umamalin b'mayim, umitokshi kala eina she'eves salatzafa. And it says, "Ba'evin lachbita." I need this bucket to go down. This is pumpkin. This is gourd. It's light. If I chuck it into the well, nothing will happen. So I'm going to take a big stone, a big rock. I'm going to put it in my pumpkin, and then this way, when I put it down into the water, it's going to submerge. It's going to go down, and this way, I will be able to retrieve the mayim, which I so desperately desire right now, because I'm thirsty. Says the Mishnah, Heaven should be kiruya. Im memalin ba, the ainin efeles, if you could be memala with it, then it will not fall out, meaning it's considered to be properly attached to this thing. Then, memalin ba. So this stone is not mukta. This stone now became an integral component of my bucket. Then lav, if it falls out, ain't no malin ball. Says the bottom Rashi, then lav, arei hi kishar avonim. Vein metalfin es kiruya de shav yabosis la'evin shenei sasa. Not only can you not carry, not only can you not use the oven, not only does the oven not become an integral component of my bucket, but the oven now asters up the bucket entirely. Now the bucket becomes a basis ladavra aser. Venapachu becomes even worse. And we continue on our days.
Did you not prepare the stone before Shabbos, and therefore, so what's the difference how it's attached in the bucket?
So that's a good point. If a person would have said, I, hinani mochan mazuman, to make a hazmana, a lamis, and I'm yach this oven to serve as a component in my bucket. You're right. Seems to me that he didn't do that. He just took the oven, put it in the bucket, and now he wants to use it. So here we say it has to be that it's clear that it's a useful thing. If a person would have been yach this olamis, then presumably even if it would fall out, I would think a yichud olamis would help. I would think. So we continue with a similar case. You have a zmora, you have a branch of a vine. And again, you attach it to some type of a container or receptacle for the same purpose of filling things up, being the malamayim. So we say, memalam bavishabas. If you've got a hole in the wall, and you've got something which you use to block up, to be poikik. So pekaka halayin, Reb Leza imam bizman shahu kosha v'tolay poikikin boy. Providing that this thing which you use as your window to block up is both attached and it is toloi and it suspends. If you look at Rashi two lines down, he says the toloi she'ene nigrar ba'aretz. It's not dragging on the ground. In other words, it clearly seems to be part of the window, meaning it's something which I use to open and close the window. It's not dragging on the ground. Shehu kosher by ve'ene magil ha'aretz. So if it is kosher v'taloi, you can use it to be paikik your haloyin, to open and close your window. Then lav, but if that's not the case, ein paikik in boy. Hamameh benkach benkach paikik in boy. What difference does it make? Why does it need to be attached? I have an empty cavity in the wall of my house, which we call a window, but there's no glass in there, and I've got this chunk. I've got this chunk of wood or whatever it is, or this stone, whatever it is, and I put it in, and I take it out, and it's totally detached. It's portable. It's not makusher. It does not need to be makusher. Good. Tanan Asim, we learned later on in the Masechta, Evin Sha'al Piyachavis. If you have a rock on top of a barrel, and what's the case? You need to take some wine out of the barrel, says Rashi. So mata al sida, you tilt the chavis, the hine felis. Fine. This is only if you forgot the oven there. If you forgot the oven there, the barrel does not become a bosses. And therefore you can tilt it. You can do a tilt on the outside. So lo yishanu ela v'shecheach. But if you place the oven there with intent, so then the whole barrel is osur. The barrel becomes a bosses ladavra osur. That is Rabba Amrabami b'shem Rabbi Yechanan. Now we have Rabbi Yosef Amrabasi Amrabi Yechanan. So ultimately we've got a machlekes Rabami and Rabasi b'das Rabbi Yechanan. Says Rabasi b'das Rabbi Yechanan leishanu ela b'shecheach. When do you need to do this? In a case of shecheach. Avo b'mein niach nase kisui lechaves. If this oven is a permanent fixture on top of my barrel, so, for all intents and purposes, it's a lid. It's the lid of my barrel. It's the lid of my barrel. Why are you saying that it should make it a basis ladavra aser? And so on, this oven became a glorified lid. No problem whatsoever. So we have a big machlokes, really kind of mikatsa lakatsa. What did Rabbi Yechon say? Did Rabbi Yechon say that when you put an oven with intent on top of a barrel, the barrel becomes a bosses for the oven? Or did Rabbi Yochanan say that if you put the eben with intent on top of the barrel, the eben becomes a kisui? big machlokes. So one is learning Rabbi Yochanan l'chumra, one is learning Rabbi Yochanan li le kula. Good. So Amar Rabba. So Amar Rabba, and again, Rabba was the first one. It was Rabba b'shem Rav Ami b'shem Rav Yochanan, which learned it l'chumra. Amar Rabba, meizvin and eshmaitin. Meaning there is a question on me, on my shmua, on my shita. I learned Rabbi Yochanan l'chumra. I said b'shem Rav Ami b'shem Rav Yochanan that if the eved is placed with intent, it becomes a basis. They ask from the following. It says in our Mishnah, Evan should be kiruya, mamalan ba, veinin efela, is mamalan ba. What does it say over there? If you have successfully achieved by weighing down the Evan in your pumpkin, that it now serves as a viable keli, this Evan is 100% mutter betiltol, it does not become a basis ladavra asr. Fakert, it becomes an integral, useful component. So, l'chayr, that seems to be a kasha on my shita. On that he says, v'la'i, but it's not shver. Because Hasan gave in the hotke, shavya deifin. There, because you kind of stick it in, you force it in, you wedge it in, and then you make it as if it is a deifin. So it's not shav, you just merely place it, but which we didn't see necessarily from reading the Mishnah, but Rashi says, Dahadka Shakashra Yaha. You connect the Evan well to this gourd, this pumpkin, so that now it became a part of the Keli. That when you connect it, that's considered to be part of the Keli. So that is the way Rabbah will demiash the Kasha on himself. Amar Rabbi Yosef, remember Rabbi Yosef said, B'shem Rabbi Asi, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan Lakula. Rabbi Yosef says, I've got a kasha on me from our Mishnah. It says, Vimlav, if the Evan's not going to weigh it down, it's going to fall out. You can't use it, but why? But I said that once you put the Evan with intent, it's considered to be the kisui. And here we say, if it's gonna fall out, then it remains mukta. Says Rabbi Yosef Aloi, it's not a kash on me. Hasan kaven de lehatka, betuli bakla. Over there, to the extent that you didn't wedge it in and attach it properly, so then, really, it's actually considered to be a bottle to the pumpkin, and therefore it's not considered to be a lid. And if it's not considered to be a lid, it's not a keli. If you look at Rashi, Veloyi, middle of the page, Rashi says, Veloyi, loy kashali, says Rabbi Yosef. The hosom, hayalu balek shira, you didn't attach the eben to the pumpkin, loy hazielamalois, it's not fit to fill up the hanafla, the high lav hotka, the high delay hotka, betuli batlamiteris kli. This fellow, because he didn't attach it, so in essence, what has he done? He has made it that it's not considered to be a kli. So gali adaite dele chashivle. Avokisin chavis hanacha mashele kli. I have got a barrel and I've got a stone. The stone is the perfect size and shape to serve as a functional lid. That's all I need to do. And the hanacha makes it into a kli. Placing the evan on top of the barrel, that makes it into a kli. Good. Says the Gemara like this, but my kamiflagi, so what is and the machlek is between? Rabami and Rabasi, Marisavra be'in and Maisa, Marisavra lo be'in and Maisa. Do you need to do a Maisa? Do you not need to do a Maisa? The ozdu l'tamai, Rabami and Rabasi, gon l'shitasa. The chayasar of Dimi Amram Chanina, v'amila Amram Zera, Amram Chanina, Pamachas Halach Rebbe Lamakamechot. Rebbe went to a particular place. Umatz Nidvach Shalabanim. He found a row of bricks. We saw this before. He found a Nidvach of Avanim. The Amr Tamidav. He told the Tamidim Tzu, the Chizru, Eleishan Neshiv Alein Lamachot. Go and consider what needs to be done so that we can sin in it tomorrow. Rebbe did not require a maisa, he just said go and be machashiv. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, Yitzriachan Rebbe lamaisa. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and Rabbi Yochanan says that Rebbe did in fact require a maisa. Now here is where we get to Rabbi Ami and Rabasi. Remember, Rabbi Ami and Rabasi were going, they were arguing bidas Rabbi Yochanan, so we want to know, what is the machlekes lishitasam of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi? So my Amar Lahu, Rabbi Ami Amar Tzu Velandum Amar Lahem. So Rabbi Ami was the one who was makel, and he said, all you need to do is just arrange them, just be malamed them. Rashi says, just arrange them. You don't actually need to do a major maisa. So that is Rabbi Ami. And remember, one second, where are you? So again, Rabbi Ami, right, so Rabbi, just like Rabbi Ami said to Shem Rabbi Yochanan, that if you placed it with intent, then nasa bosses, it becomes a bosses ladavra ha'asur. So too over here, Rabbi Ami was the one who said that he told him to be misada them. So you need to be misada these avonim. So I guess we are saying now that being malamed them, being misada them is a type of mice. So let's just finish, we'll piece the pieces together. Amar lo Rabbi Asi, no. No, what he told him was go and be mishafshif them. Rashi says, v'shifshifum min hatit, shiyu na'is leishev, ulamachar talamdom, devemaisa kolduhu nasikli. All you need to do is a maisa kolduhu in order for it to be a kli. So we're saying over here that being mishafshif is just cleaning them off from the tit, and that is considered to be a maisa kolduhu. So Rab Asi who said tzu v'shifshifum amar lahu, that is a maisa kolduhu. He doesn't require a major maisa. So that's the same Rab Asi who says that once you place the evan down, it becomes a kisui because you don't need to do a major maisa. Whereas Rabbi Ami said that they needed to, Rebbe told them to properly be misada them, you need more of a maisa. And unless you do a proper maisa, then it remains aser, and then it would be a basis, and so on. So, fine. So that is Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi l'shitasim. So again, one more time. We have over here that if you have an evan al pi achavis, your matal tzida, it falls down. So Rabbi Ami said b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, but if you place it with intent, it becomes a bosses. Rabbi Asi said b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, if you place it with intent, it becomes a kisui. It seems to be that the nekudas of machlekes is, do you need to do a maisa? Do you not need to do a maisa? Rabbi Ami says you need to do a maisa. And therefore, if you place it with intent, that's not a maisa. The mele becomes a bosses. Whereas the Masi seems to say, you don't need to do a Maisa, and it becomes a Kisui. And they are going Lishitasam in the way they explained the Maisa Shahaya with Rebbe. The Gemara brings a couple of other opinions. Itmar, Yezib, and Shaul, Omar, Savar, Shalkoires, Havar. It was actually a Savar Shalkoires. It was a bunch of beams. It was not stone. Rashi says Sava means a seder shal kores hadashis. Shemesader nesan lebinyan kadei shaloi yis akamu. So you've got a bunch of beams which are piled up in a way that they will not bend. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul Omar goshish shal sfina hava. It was like the oar of a boat. That's what it was. Manda amar goshish. Let's just see the Rashi's. Rashi says, kapid alei, meaning an oar, kapid alei shalayis akeim, umiyachid le mokum. Umaktali biodayim. Rafil Rav Shimon Osilatal Kalei de Muktzamach Meschasar and Kis. Rafil Rav Shimon Maidabe. So we're bringing a couple of other opinions as to what was the Maisa with Rebbe when he said, Tzu, the Chizru, go and see what we need to do in order to be able to use these tomorrow. One opinion was that it was a bunch of boards. One says it was an ore. One of the opinion which says it was an ore, kol shekein boards. But the opinion that says it was a board would not agree that you could go ahead and use the ore, because an ore, you're very makpid. Not to, that it shouldn't become bent. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to use it anymore. And therefore, that would be like a case of muktzamach meschasar and kis, which even Rav Shimon would be maita. But al kopana bekitzer ma'olabi adeno, from this small little sugya is, we have 2 days, machlekes Rabami and Rabasi, bedas Rabbi Yochanan, if when you place an even on top of a chavis, does that automatically become a basis for davar as if you want it to be there? Or do we say no, on the contrary, it becomes a lid, it becomes the kisui, and it depends on whether or not you need to do a proper maisa to be mafkia from the terrorist in muktzah or not. We said in the Mishnah, Zmeira Shikshura, if you have a vine which is attached, we said Kshura in Lake Shura Loi, it's got to be attached. If it's not attached, it's not going to work. If you look at Rashi, last small line, She'in Shulai V'afiro Yesh Akmumis V'reisha Ge'in Mazleg. So even though there are some points sticking out, some bent areas, She'ro'oy Litleis Ba Tafiach Ulamaleis V'chishvaleh, it's still no good. So imagine you've got a zmira, you've got a little twig, you've got a branch, and it's bent. It goes up. It goes up, and you could very easily take something and put it on it and use it to scoop up a little bit of water. The Mishnah says only if you're makasherit. It's got to be attached. So that's the Gemara's medayik. The Gemara says, Kshura in Lake Shura Loya. So Lema Masnis in the Lake of Shemingam Liao. The Danya Horia Shal Deka. You've got these dried pieces of these dried, hard leaves of a dekel tree, shigadron le'etzin, and you assemble them, you gather them for the sake of using it for firewood. So, v'nim lechaleim le'yeshiva, and you change your mind, you say, you know what? This will make a perfect chair, a perfect stool. I would like to hereby use these harios for the sake of a stool. So, says the Tanakhama, tzach likshar, you need to do a maisa. So, on Erev Shabbos, you need to tie them up. Whereas, Rosh Hashanah, Omer, Ein, Sarech, Likshar, you don't need to tie it up. Amr of Sheish, so we wanted to say that our Mishnah is going to Lake Rosh Hashanah. Our Mishnah, which says that you need to tie it up, and we would add caution in Lake Hashulai, it's the Lake Rosh Hashanah. Says Rosh Hashanah, now, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Achav Ma'iskinen b'mechuberes ba'avia. The case over here is that it was mechuberes ba'avia. It was attached. It's still attached to the ground. It's still attached to the ground. If it's attached to the ground, for sure you need to tie it up. 1 second, Frank B'gamar. It's attached to the ground. You're going to use something which is attached to the ground. Iachi kamish damish b'mechuber lekarka. You're not allowed to do that because you are using mechuber lekarka, says the Gemara, lamata migimol. If it is lamata migimol, that's considered to be lavud, that's not considered to be that you're being mishtamish with karka, and that is mutter to do. Rav Ashi Amar, if you're a tema betlusha, we can say it's tlusha. If it's tlusha, then it comes out that our Mishnah is deloi, kerab and shimam and galil, because he required that you tie them up. Over here, he would agree. Why does he say over here, you must tie them up? Gizera shema yiktayim. Says Rashi, about 6 lines in the bottom, shema lamachar tiyalei arucha. Maybe tomorrow he'll discover it's a bit too long. V'yiktamena, and he'll cut it into shape. V'tech shihiraka. V'nech aliktim. V'nimtza oizikli. V'chayim shemakav abadish. So So that's the reason why over here Rabbi Gamliel would be moida that you need to tie it up. Avo b'chariyois, by the dried leaves of the dekel, b'chariyois liyeshiva lek l'migzach yehilkach b'machshava sagi. Okay, I guess we will stop here. Hashem, we will pick it up with Tach Halein tomorrow.